Welcome to the Klamath Tribes podcast. Today's guest, Amanda Blodgett, the new general manager of the Klamath Tribal Health and Family Services in our medical center called the Healing Place in Klamath Falls. She began her job in November 4th. Welcome.
Thank you.
So November 4th, you got going. Before we get into your work with the tribes, how about we start with a little bit of history on your work in healthcare?
Sure. My background starts actually in the military. I spent 8 years in the Air Force serving at Kingsley Field. And from there, I transitioned to a civilian position with Cascade Health Alliance, which is the local coordinated care organization that facilitates the Medicaid plan for residents of Klamath County. I worked at Cascade Health Alliance doing population health and quality improvement initiatives for a couple of years. And then I transitioned to Klamath Health Partnership, which is a federally qualified health center. I spent almost 7 years in various executive leadership roles at Klamath Health Partnership before I joined the team here at Klamath Tribal Health. Tribal health facilities are run very similarly to community health centers or federally qualified health centers in that we receive funding through the federal government. And so I have quite a bit of experience in working with the federal government when it comes to funding, grant reporting, and the requirements for our malpractice coverages and things like that. What's new to me here being in this role is the learning curve for me is to learn how to serve tribal members and being culturally appropriate and culturally responsive to their healthcare needs. It's been learning as quickly as I possibly can over the past 90 days and really getting a better understanding and a better foundation of how we can serve our Native population and bring them outstanding health care.
Okay, very good. And I mean, what have you learned in your 90 days that might answer that question?
I've learned several things. I've learned that there's a lot of trauma with this population. I knew that before coming into this role, but I don't think I understood the depth of the trauma that our tribal people have experienced, and that it's certainly generational trauma, but how it continues even today to be so incredibly impactful on not only mental health and well-being, but just physical health and the tremendous effect that it has on all aspects of somebody's health and well-being. So that's been a really eye-opening experience for me and something that I'm really trying to be conscientious to frame my day-to-day work in understanding as best as I can, being a non-Native person myself, trying to understand as best I can how that trauma impacts our patients and how it's so important for us to be informed about that trauma in order to serve or in order to deliver appropriate health care.
How do you define and describe trauma that you are referring to?
Well, I don't know that I'm the one to define it. I think the trauma is different for each person. I'm not a clinician, and so I can't speak from a clinical standpoint, but from just a human-to-human standpoint, everyone has a different level of trauma, and their experience has been different. Some people, as I said, more significant than others. And so I think it's really important for me to not even attempt to define that trauma, but rather let each individual define it for themselves. And then we can make that unique approach to addressing their healthcare based on that individual person's experience.
The facility we have down there that you're overseeing as general manager has a behavioral health department building. So it's a separate from the medical side. That's something, I guess, is a challenge for you to manage both and what to provide, how to bring the services.
Well, I thank you for bringing that up. And I do want to make a small clarification. I actually work, I'm based out of our administration building, which is at 3949 South 6th Street. And our administration team oversees all of our facilities. Healing Place is just one of those facilities. We also oversee the Wellness Center in Chiloquin, the Pioneer Place, which is also in Chiloquin. And so we have a vast network of facilities that offer resources and healthcare services to our patients, and I oversee all of those facilities. What was your original question? I'm sorry, I wanted to make that clarification, but I forgot what your question was.
Well, at the Healing Place, you have a new behavioral health center, and I assume that is something that is ongoing for development and services.
Yes, it absolutely is. We have a robust program at the Healing Place. The Youth and Family Guidance Center is what we call it, YFGC. But we also have services in Chiloquin as well. We have a clinician that goes up there a couple of times a week and provides support and warm handoff services in that setting as well.
Is the Klamath Falls, though, pretty much handling the majority of work when it comes to medical service and, you know, social services, well, you know, the mental health aspect of healing?
I think it's fair to say that we have more visits in the Healing Place, but it is a satellite location. Our primary location continues to be the Wellness Center based in Chiloquin.
Yeah, but we have a state-of-the-art facility in Klamath Falls now, the multi-million-dollar facility, offers dental care as well as primary care and children's care, pediatrics. How is that developing, and where are we at with that? Because I know you had to get some doctors, you had to get some dentists, and that had been a challenge at first to fill those spots like it is for everybody in Klamath Falls.
Absolutely, and that was going to be my comment, is that recruiting healthcare professionals in a rural area is particularly challenging, and not just for Klamath Falls. That's not unique to us. That's a challenge across the nation, is recruiting healthcare providers to rural areas. So we continue to be thoughtful and trying to be innovative in our approach to recruiting professionals from out of the area, working on different partnerships with different members of the community to better promote not just our healthcare services and what a career here would be at Klamath Tribal Health and Family Services, but also what our community has to offer. When you're recruiting a provider from out of the area, I think it's important to explain both aspects, that what they can enjoy in their professional life, but also what the amazing things that Klamath County offers for their personal well-being as well. And so we're trying to be innovative about that. We're seeking different partnerships with different recruitment firms from around the nation, and really just trying to be thoughtful about expanding our reach so that we have a broader pool of healthcare professionals to pull from.
How are things looking for staffing for the medical side?
I will be quite honest with you. They're a challenge right now. We are served by a locums provider, and while she does an outstanding job, I completely understand that locums provider is not the ideal situation.
Well, locum?
Locums means it's basically a temporary placement. It's someone who's agreed to provide services to our patients on a very short-term basis. Very short-term meaning anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Sometimes those providers extend for another 3 to 6 months with us, but again, it's a short time period. It isn't guaranteed that they will extend at the end of their time period. And so our ideal situation is that we're recruiting permanent providers who are contracting with our organization to stay for an extended period of time. And again, as I mentioned earlier, recruiting in a rural health setting is challenging. And so the intent is to only use locum providers as kind of that stopgap until we get a full panel of primary care providers, but we're just not there yet presently. We do have a few people who are permanent. We recently hired a new family nurse practitioner who is a tribal member, not a Klamath tribal member, but she is a tribal member. I believe this is her third week with us. So she's just started. She's not yet seeing patients, but we're training her to hopefully see patients within the next month or so.
And on the dental side, is that all settled? We went in there and took a look a month ago or so, and there was some dentists there. And I mean, it's a state-of-the-art dental facility.
The dental facility is beautiful. I completely agree. That's true at the Healing Place. And then we're looking forward to doing some remodeling and updating to the Wellness Center as well, and to bring that up to that state-of-the-art facility equal to the Healing Place. Our dental staffing is a bit more stable than our medical staffing. We still do have one opening for a dentist position, but overall that staffing has proven to be a bit more stable than the medical side.
What about the pediatric side?
We don't have any specific pediatricians. However, all of our providers are qualified to see pediatric patients. And if peds are, if there are unique needs that the provider feels like is outside of their scope of practice, then we can refer to pediatricians here locally.
I know that at Skylake, they utilize a lot of traveling nurses, they call them. You know, you mentioned,
yes.
Are you trying to tap into that as well?
Our nursing staff remains stable as well. We've been really blessed with a stable local nursing force. But when you say that term traveling nurse, that is considered a locum. So Skylake's using the traveling nurses. Those are actually locums nurses, just like our providers that we're using are locums as well.
Well, they also have traveling nurse practitioners, I think, too, right?
Correct.
So that seems just to be the go-to for everybody.
Unfortunately, yes. That was somewhat common prior to COVID, but once COVID happened, that really became the norm, which is really unfortunate. Locums providers are incredibly expensive. And so it really kind of puts the financial situation almost upside down in a way, because the what you're able to bill for in reimbursement doesn't always cover the cost of a locums provider. So you have to be really thoughtful about how you're utilizing them, what your locums ratio is. Again, ideally you wouldn't have any locums. But yeah, that really has changed healthcare and has made things quite a bit more challenging to manage.
Do we see any solution or progress in the near future?
To the locum situation?
To getting permanent staff, you know, that aren't locum.
Yeah, the locums, that's somewhat of a systemic issue across the United States. Because that's become the norm, basically healthcare facilities are just passing locums around to each other. And that's unfortunate. We're going to have to make some, I think as an industry, we're going to have to make some standards or some changes to standards so that we can provide more attractive packages for permanent providers as opposed to locum providers. As I said, locums are far more expensive. And so that can be, that's because that's more lucrative to the provider. That's why we see so many locums. And we really need to rethink our approach and change and shift and be more thoughtful about our compensation and benefits packages for our permanent providers. I think it's also important, we have to recruit from within. It's important for us to be active in the schools, both, you know, even starting at the elementary level, but particularly the middle school and high school level. And then even some of those who are just starting their college career, say at KCC or Oregon Tech, and they're not quite sure, they know they want some sort of higher education, but they're not sure what path they're going on. I think it's really important for us to engage with them early, expose them to opportunities that exist in the healthcare system. It's not just providers, not just clinicians, but you know, I think about our pharmacy team, or I think about our peer support specialists, or even the business side, or the public relations and marketing side. There are so many different opportunities in healthcare, and it's important for us to engage with local people. We're going to have a better time, an easier time recruiting and retaining local people, but then having a specific emphasis on recruiting and retaining native providers, native professionals, grooming them and preparing them for that type of a career, and then welcoming them into our organization and providing care to their people. I think that's a beautiful thing. And if we can cultivate that, that will help us start to reduce the need for locums.
Shall we touch upon money and budgets, and are we facing any challenges with costs versus, you know, maintaining a stable budget?
I would say that we're fortunate that the Oregon Health Authority is a great partner to us and is presently well-funded. We are keeping a good eye on what's happening at the federal level. There have been some interesting things that have come from the federal government in the last 3 weeks or so. There have been a lot of conflicting information that is coming from the federal government. And so we're keeping a close eye on that and being conscientious and thoughtful about how we're using our resources. Presently, we are well-funded and I don't have concerns, but I'm certainly keeping an eye on the situation at the federal level.
If there was a federal cut in funds, as everybody's observing and waiting for, what does that come out of? What is the department in the federal government?
For us specifically, it would be IHS, Indian Health Services. Some of the messaging that we're hearing from the federal government, and also we have a legal team that's evaluating a lot of these communications from the federal government to help us understand what's going on. At the present time, I'm not so much concerned about our funding. I think that because we're a sovereign nation and have this government-to-government relationship and expectation, I think that our funding is stable. What I'm more concerned about now is the actual staffing at IHS. That is different, and we don't have control over that at being through this government-to-government treaty and agreement. And so the federal government can certainly cut staffing at IHS without it affecting our government-to-government relationship. So that is my concern.
Unprecedented that times.
Indeed, it is unprecedented. And it is a bit of a roller coaster. One minute we're sort of in, I don't want to say panic mode, but we're concerned and alarmed by what we're seeing coming from the federal government. And then literally a couple of hours later, there's something that comes down rescinding everything that they said. And so it's really been just a whirlwind. And it's certainly keeping me on my toes and my team as well. Our finance team is working regularly to kind of project different scenarios and what it might look like for us. My predecessors have done a good job of stabilizing the funding and making sure that we're well funded. And so I feel at this time that we're certainly stable, and I'm not worried about cutting any services or anything like that in the near future.
Looking into the next year or two, what are your goals?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I'm still establishing the goals a little bit. As I said, I've been here 90 days. I still have a lot more to learn about that. The unique needs of the tribal population when it comes to healthcare. I had a bunch of ideas when I first came in, and now I'm kind of stepping back and kind of rethinking. I still have the same ideas, but maybe I need to take a different approach. Some of those ideas are how we can help prevent chronic illness and how we can really build a robust prevention program into our, particularly on the medical side of the house, how we can, prevent type 2 diabetes, prevent hypertension and obesity, things like this. But I think if we can really get a prevention program going, then we aren't going to be having to treat long-term chronic conditions. And instead, people are feeling healthy and are actually healthy and feeling well for a longer period of time. Again, those were kind of my initial thoughts coming in. Those are still my goals, but I'm recognizing that the approach that we took in my previous employment is probably going to have to look a bit different in order to be culturally appropriate and meet the needs of our Native patients. And so I don't know exactly what that looks like yet. I think it's going to be important for me to engage with our staff and our patients to understand how we can deliver those types of prevention programs in a culturally appropriate way that will be well received and that the patients will be responsive to what we're trying to do.
Very good. I think we covered it all pretty much. Do you have anything you wanted to add that I didn't talk to you about or ask?
No, I think I do actually. I just want to thank our team here at KTH. One thing I've noticed in going around, I try to spend as much time with staff as possible. It's really challenging because there's a lot going on right now. But every time I get to engage with any of our team members, but particularly our team members who are tribal members and specifically members of the Klamath tribes, it's really, it is apparent the moment that you meet somebody, how passionate they are about serving their people. And I think that is such an important quality for somebody working in the healthcare industry. You have to have passion for the work you're doing. The work we do is hard. We take care of people when they don't feel well. And that can be difficult, and it can be overwhelming to staff to be in a position where you're day in and day out working with people who don't feel well, and it can start to affect you. But if you have that passion for what you're doing, it helps sustain you through those difficult times. And all of our team members have such a beautiful passion for our patients. And it's something I've been privileged to witness. And I just feel really honored to be a part of it. And I'm excited to see what we can accomplish together as a team over the next couple of years.
Excellent. Amanda Blodgett joining me today on the Klamath Tribes podcast, General Manager of the Klamath Tribes Family Health and Family Services. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.